It is the KSRO Good Food Hour. As we move from the KSRO Greenhouse to the KSRO Kitchen, regaled in his whites and his chef's toque, it's Chef John Ash. We have to set the scene, even though you're dressed in a black t-shirt. But yeah. That's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
How are you this morning?
And we have a beautiful spread in front of us of smoked salmon and pâtés and fresh morels. And
I love this.
Yeah.
I love this idea.
Yeah. That's what
Thank
radio
you.
Does.
We will set the scene. We want to just start with acknowledging the passing of one of our dear friends and compatriots, and that's Chris Silva.
Yes.
Who passed away this week, CEO of St. Francis Winery here in, Kenwood, Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
Chris had an illustrious career in the wine and food business here, a native Santa Rosan, who a lot of people knew and loved and passed away this week. And we want to acknowledge his contribution. And also, he is a guy, as a man, as a mentor to so many people in the wine business. You knew Chris. It was so funny. When we did an event with Chris at St. Francis a couple of years ago in honor of National Pie Day, and we talked with Chris and said, hey, we would love to bring the show out and help you celebrate National Pie Day, and he was completely open to the idea. We interviewed pie makers both from here in Sonoma County, and we had some pie makers on the phone with us, national famous pie makers. We had pie tastings for the folks that came to St. Francis that day. And Chris was so enthusiastic about that. And he mentioned when he was on the show that he had not known you, but had bagged your groceries.
Yeah, that's right.
When he was 15 years old.
And working at Petrini's.
When he was a bag boy at Petrini's. And he said on the air, he said, John, you don't know this, but I got a job as a bag boy at Petrini's. And I remember you coming in your chef's whites. Sometime like late afternoon, early evening, that you needed a couple of ingredients for the restaurant in Montgomery Village. Yeah. And people would say, you know who that is? It says Chef John Ash. And you go, oh, that's Chef John Ash. And here all these years later, we're doing a broadcast from St. Francis Winery, which is lovely.
Yeah.
He was also instrumental in helping find the found the Santa Rosa Junior College Wine Classic event, which has been marvelously successful for the past several years.
Yes. Yeah. He was the most enthusiastic wine and food guy and the consummate promoter of all things good food and wine, but especially Sonoma County.
Yeah. You know. So I know that services are being held this coming week, and I believe they'll be open to the public, too, for people to pay tribute and acknowledge him and mourn his early passing.
Yeah.
So Chris Silva. Also passing away this week was Flo Breaker. Mm. And Flo, for those of you in the baking world, probably know her name. She lived in the South San Francisco area. Flo had been on the show for a number of years, going back to the early 90s or so, when one of her books was republished, her big, simple Art of Baking, back in 1984, then republished in 92. She was an inspiration to a lot of people. Clear, concise, passionate baking teacher. Her book, Sweet Miniatures, remember when we had her on for that, was a huge, huge success nationwide. She also wrote the baking column in the San Francisco Chronicle. I bet for
years?
15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And that was one I always looked forward to reading in the Wednesday Chronicle, because she was an inspiring teacher.
Well, and her recipes, I mean, get her books, you should still, because her recipes are just superb and simple. You know, baking can be intimidating to a lot of people, but not if Flo was teaching you.
Yeah, The Simple Art of Perfect Baking was the name of the book. And you can still find it online and at used bookstores. If you really want to have some solid foundations of baking, there wasn't anybody better than Flo. But funny, when we first met Flo, I learned that she was from Evansville, Indiana. And being from Louisville, this is kind of across the Ohio River almost. And I had spent a lot of time visiting friends who lived in Evansville. Not a lot of people, unless you're from that part of the world, know Evansville, Indiana. So there was a kind of an immediate connection with Flo Breaker and me. And then you brought to my attention the passing of a person I certainly had never heard of, but you said we should mention this on the air.
Yeah.
A gentleman named Fred A. Kummerow, K-U-M-M-E-R-O-W. And who was he?
He was the guy who discovered, I guess, identified trans fats. you know, which, you know, has come to be a kind of major issue for human nutrition and all of that stuff. We didn't know it existed until he came along and isolated it.
Well, I wanted to read a few excerpts from the New York Times in the obituary. A German-born biochemist and lifelong contrarian whose nearly 50 years of advocacy led to the federal government ban on the use of trans fatty acids in processed foods. He was the first. They were ruled unsafe by the FDA, partly in response to a lawsuit that Professor Kumerow filed against the agency in 2013, 2 months shy of his 99th birthday. Mm-hmm. The ban, announced in 2015, goes into effect in 2018. I thought the ban was already in effect.
You know, I did too. But I think a lot of people voluntarily, they could see it coming. And I think it talks about in there also what trans fats are used for, or what why they became so important in food processing.
Certainly in large manufacturing. Yeah. He suggested the link between processed foods and heart disease in the 1950s, he was already talking about this. He said he published his findings about the role in 1957 about trans fats, a time when the prevailing view held that saturated fats, like those in butter and cream, were the big culprit in arterial sclerosis. His report was not merely criticized, it was dismissed by the scientific community. He said in the 60s and 70s, the processed food industry, enjoying a cozy relationship with scientists, played a large role in keeping trans fats in people's diets. He was often heckled by industry representatives when he would present his research at scientific conferences. Findings for the study of heart disease increased significantly after President Eisenhower had a heart attack in 1955. And that's why they were more receptive to hearing what he had to say. Professor Kumerow was one of the first scientists to suggest that the saturated fat in butter, cheese, and meats did much less harm in clogging arteries. It was, in fact, beneficial in moderate amounts, and that had never even been proposed. This hypothesis, controversial at the time, has proved to be correct. And by the way, Professor Kumerow continued to include red meat, whole milk, and eggs scrambled in butter in his diet. He passed away at 102 years old. So there we have it.
There you go.
Fred A. Kumerow, a name that will live in,
well, it should.
In food nutrition. Finally getting his due.
Yeah.
Better late than never, thanks to us reading this in the New York Times. We'll be back after this. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Digital Pro Kim Commando, and I'm here Sundays, noon to 3, on KSRO.
Now booking sleepovers at Grayton Resort and Casino. Go all in when you spend the night with us. Book your destination all in today at GraytonResortCasino.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Davis of On the Wine Road. I'm 1 week into driving a Smothers European Volvo 2017 S90 T6 all-wheel drive inscription sedan. It's the top of the line in the S90 category. The T6 indicates it has a supercharged 316 horsepower engine. This beauty has some power. I'm still learning about all the features, but the one I had to try right away was Pilot Assist. On the freeway, you can lock in on the car ahead of you, and it steers the Volvo for you up to 80 miles an hour. Don't worry, John, I haven't gone that fast. He's the manager. There's a lot to cover in the coming weeks because the S90 has more standard features than any car in its class. If you're looking for a luxury vehicle, you gotta see the Volvo S90. Through the end of June, you can lease it for $479 a month for 36 months with $3479 due at signing. It's Volvo's midsummer sales event going on now at Smothers European Volvo, 2881 Corby Avenue and SmothersEuropeanVolvo.com.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. Right now, it's time for garden starts and microgreens. They're available along with fresh veggies, healthy mixed salad greens, and hothouse tomatoes. All stone fruit is in. Peaches, cherries, and plums, and all the berries. Blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, and strawberries. When choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, chicken, and freshly made sausages. Min Hee Korean Cuisine is serving up her popular Korean egg rolls. Enjoy Tao's delicious falafels, and Anello Crab and Seafood offers the best clam chowder. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thanks, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
His eyes darted between the blue wire and then the red wire. Back to the blue, back to the red. A bead of sweat dropped from his brow to his hand, which grasped a pair of pliers. He took a deep breath, steadied himself, and cut both with one swift squeeze of his tool. The boy screamed as the doctor pried the braces from his teeth.
If this 20-second performance made you feel something, imagine what an entire Audible book can do. Visit audible.com to start your free 30-day trial.
Here's something good for your soul Sunday mornings with the Center for Spiritual Living. Tune in at 8:30 and hear a half-hour message of practical spirituality from Edward Viljoen. You'll hear spiritual practices translated into inspirational ideas for everyday living. Spiritual Living with Edward Viljoen, Sunday mornings at 8:30. Think of it as spirituality for people who don't like church. That's Spiritual Living with Edward Viljoen, brought to you every Sunday morning at 8:30 on News Talk KSRO.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
When the moon hits your eye, like a big pizza pie,
that's amore.
Yeah. Well, we should talk about a magnificent event, kind of life-changing for a lot of people, actually, in the world of food.
Well, you were able to kind of observe that, too, which was great.
And what we're speaking of is the Press Democrats North Coast Wine and Food Festival, which happened on June 10th. John was there, and there was a wonderful article in the Press Democrat following the event. And one of the hits of the event was, of course, you, John, partnering with Worth Our Weight, the students in that great organization, to make pizza. No, you didn't make pizza. Mm. Show people how to make their own personal pizza from beginning to end. This has never been attempted before.
And may never be again.
Well, it was astounding. Yeah. First, we should say that the event, when it opened at 12:30 and when we closed up shop at 3:30, served over 430 pizzas. 430 different people came through the lines making their own pizzas. And the comments were extraordinary. The people said it was life-changing. They never thought they could do anything like this. And you were there actually tutoring people as they went through the line. The grills were manned by the Worth Our Weight students. The Worth Our Weight students were helping the participants roll out their pre-made rolls, balls of dough, flouring them, grilling them, topping them, the whole process. So what was your experience? Because I was doing color commentary in the back.
Well, thank God you were there.
And you were there on the front line working with people as they came forward to make their pizzas. What were some of the revelations?
Well, the genesis of this idea was from Ginger Hopkins, who is the event director at the Press Democrat. And she said, you know, let's do something. We began this conversation a number of months ago. Let's do something rather than just another kind of wine and food festival. Walk up, get your little bite of food, walk up to the wine guy, get a little splash of
wine.
Which
is perfectly wonderful.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. But, you know, I've been there, done that. She said, let's do something educational. Let's do something where people actually walk away having learned something that they might take home and do. And I said, I got it. Let's do grilled pizza, you know, pizza straight on the grill, no stones, no any of that kind of stuff. You just fire up your grill and go for it. And it's an interesting process because you learn how to handle dough a little bit, and this is something valuable not only for pizza dough, but for pie dough and for rolling out anything. And then how to grill, how to put it on the grill. And the thing that I kept, I think I got a little testy at about not overloading your pizza, you know. In Italy, when you go get wonderful pizza, the dough part of it is every bit as important as what you put on it. And there's a tendency for, you know, for Americans to just want to load it up, you know, 2.5 pounds of meat and cheese and all of that kind of stuff. And I was like, no, don't do that. So I was even in there at one point taking stuff off their pizza, which was kind of funny. I said, no, it's just a little bit, you know, it's so you can taste the dough and do all of that. But it was kind of worked really well.
Well, the balls of dough were each pre-portioned out, and they were made about four ounces.
Dough that we made, for them, which is really simple to do. And I start by saying to people, you have to promise me that you'll never buy store-bought pre-made dough again because it's so easy to make for yourself. And the great thing about it, of course, is you can make it ahead, keep it in the fridge for a few days, or you can freeze it and then take it out and thaw it, and it's still alive.
Well, these 4 ounce doughs and balls, people rolled them out. There was probably 10 or 12 different rolling pins at the rolling station, and they rolled out between 8 and 10 inch circular pizzas approximately.
And part of it is to learn how to roll. And the rolling is a very subtle thing. You don't press hard on the rolling pin. You let the rolling pin do the work for you. You don't roll it off the edge, because then the edges get too thin and all of that stuff. So that was part of the educational part of this.
And not to use too much flour.
And not to use too much, because you get raw flour on there, which gives you a raw flour taste. And then we had them put it on a little tray and then walk over and take their place behind the grill and grill it. And it takes about 2.5 minutes.
So the next step was just a little bit of olive oil spread, just brushed on only, onto the grill for about 60 to 90 seconds approximately.
Yeah, because you have a hot grill.
And then flip it.
And the key is, and I was going to give everybody t-shirts, but I couldn't afford it. The key is, the hood is your friend. You know, you have to put the damn hood down. I always accuse Americans, especially males. Women are very, very good at grilling because they follow instruction. Men, you know, they have to stand there and watch the grill. Somehow watch the fire, I don't know what they're watching, but it's like, put it down, because you want to create an oven. So what we're doing is really creating the same effect as you'd have in a wood-fired oven.
So 90 seconds, we flip it. And then?
Then quickly top it with just the simplest. We just did margarita pizzas, which is named after the queen. So a little tomato sauce, some cheeses.
About 1 or 2 ounces. We had a tiny ladle.
Yeah, even less than 1 or 2 ounces. 1 ounce is enough, but enough so you can kind of spread it around a little bit. Some cheeses, some fresh basil, and if you want to, some red pepper flakes. And
then we had a little bit of a wonderful pre-sauteed mushrooms from Gourmet
Mushrooms. Right. That's right, yeah. That they sent over some, so we sauteed those. And so that was it. You throw that, then get that on there as quickly as you can, and then put the hood down. The hood is your friend. And cook it for another minute or so. Yeah. And then take it off and cut it up. And it's the most... It is life-changing, because when you have one fresh off the grill, it has such wonderful flavor.
Well, I can't tell you how many people said it was a revelation, because I spoke to a lot of people coming through the lines, and I would say I've probably talked to 50 to 75 people, 95% of the people never had done this before.
Yeah. Never. It's interesting. They don't want to believe that you can do it straight on the grill, that you throw the dough right on the grill and do it. It's like, oh, no, there has to be a stone, or there has to be... No, there doesn't.
Make sure that grill is, of course, clean and well-oiled before you throw it.
Yeah.
And we also want to thank Clover Stornetta.
Yeah.
Not Clover Stornetta, just... they dropped the Stornetta, but
it's still on their trucks.
It's still Clover. And they sponsored the pavilion, and they provided the cheese blend, which was lovely, too.
Yeah.
So, and the Worth Our Weight kids, they were just sensational.
Weren't they fantastic? So what I did they'd never seen anything like this. So I gave them a little tutorial about 45 minutes before we opened, and they were the pizza masters.
They were pizziolos and pizziolas, the men and women of the Worth Our Weight. So what we're going to do, we're going to post your recipe on the KSR website today, John Ash's Grilled Pizza. And once you do it, we should also mention that this dough freezes well, doesn't it?
Well, that's what I mentioned. It refrigerates, so you can make it, keep it in the fridge for a few days, but also freeze it for up to 3 months. And then when you take it out, just make sure you thaw it before you roll it out and do it on the grill. But it's the thing. Again, my admonition is, you must promise me out there that you will never, ever again spend $3 a pound for pre-made pizza dough at your local market or something. Make it yourself. It's so easy.
Thanks for that. When we come back, we're going to go over to the John Ash Fish Shed and see what's up.
Okay. News, talk, weather, traffic, sports. Sonoma County's News Talk 1350, FM 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
Time to tune up your heating and cooling system for just $49. Did you know that gas inside your heater burns at almost 2,000 degrees? And your air conditioner has high voltage electricity running through it? Hi, it's Paul Bigham with 1 Hour Heating and Air. With 26 years in business, I've noticed two ways of thinking. Those that think a system tune-up is simply changing a filter, and those who really don't know it's necessary and put it off. Well, at 1 Hour, changing a filter, adjusting gas pressure, and tightening electrical connections are just part of a tune-up. For the procrastinators out there, you end up replacing units twice as often while living with inefficient and sometimes unsafe systems. My tune-up will help keep you safe, utility bills low, and extend the life of your heating and cooling system, all to the tune of only $49. 1 Hour Heating and Air. Call 844-5-TUNE-UP. That's 844-5-TUNE-UP. Or log on to 844-5-TUNE-UP.com.
It's time for corn dogs, cotton candy, and carnival rides. The Sonoma Marin Fair, June 21st to the 25th, where all the concerts and carnival rides are included in your pay one price admission. Concerts by Tower of Power, Jana Kramer, Loverboy, and John Michael Montgomery, Fiesta Latina on Sunday. Exotic animals, silly pig races, the world's ugliest dog contest, and sprint car races. The Sonoma Marin Fair, June 21st to the 25th in Petaluma. Don't stand in line, buy online at sonoma-marinfair.org.
Kick off your musical summer at Weill Hall and Lawn at the Green Music Center on July 4th for Sonoma County's biggest fireworks display and a premier musical celebration. The Green Music Center's summer season starts off with a bang as Grammy winner Kathy Mattea, along with the Santa Rosa Symphony, take the stage, followed by eye-popping pyrotechnics. Indoor and outdoor tickets are available now, starting at just $25, with kids 12 and under free on the lawn. Brought to you in part by Clover Sonoma and Exchange Bank. Visit gmc.sonoma.edu.
Every day it's the same. Bumper-to-bumper traffic all the way down 101. The Novato Narrows is a nightmare. And at the end of the day, you go through it all again. But that's about to change. Smart is here. Smart state-of-the-art trains get you from Santa Rosa to San Rafael in a fraction of the time it takes to drive. With stations up and down the line, it's truly the smart way to ride. So leave the brake lights behind. Learn more at sonomamarintrain.org. Smart, what are your reasons to ride?
From dining, entertainment, health and wellness, and family fun, the best deals in Sonoma County are just a click away at mysonomadeals.com. Right now, get two sessions at Calistoga Cryo for whole body cryotherapy. The sub-zero temperatures activate your body's natural healing process in just 3 minutes. Normally $115 value, but right now on mysonomadeals.com, it's only $55. But hurry, because it's for a limited time only. This great deal and others only at mysonomadeals.com. That's mysonomadeals.com.
From around the country, like West Sacramento's Christopher Cabaldon, are in Miami today for the annual Conference of Mayors, but they're keeping an eye on the nation's capital.
Things like the healthcare debate that's happening in Washington right now, or the immigration battles that have been ongoing for the last several months.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is urging his colleagues to tell their senators to work together to create a bipartisan bill. That would be something healthcare would support healthcare across the board. The Senate could vote on a Republican plan next week, but at least five GOP say they will say no. More heavy rain is in the forecast today for parts of the Gulf Coast, just days after Tropical Storm Cindy blew through. Actor Johnny Depp is apologizing for comments that he made about President Trump being assassinated. He says it was in poor taste and that he didn't mean to harm anyone. As for the president, he's attending a wedding tonight for a cabinet member, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Warm and mild temperatures for the next few days. Today is sunny at 80 degrees, 60 on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 53 inland and on the shores. Even cooler for Sunday at 76, 60 in Bodega Bay. Blue skies for Monday at 76 degrees, 63 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Thank you.
It is the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John S., celebrating 30 years of wonderful food and beverage talk, and we'll have our beverage portion of the show in just a few minutes. So where were you this past week, Chef?
I was at the Aspen Food and Wine Festival, which is sponsored by American Express and Food and Wine Magazine. And it's quite a deal. I hadn't gone for a number of years. This is the first time in probably 10, 12 years or something like that. And it is, well, I just want to say, Aspen is, it's where the 1% go. it is so, I mean, it was an amazing event. But, you know, just money dripping everywhere.
Private jets coming in.
I couldn't believe the private jets over there. The little Aspen airport, there was hardly any place for the commercial airliners to land, you know, because of all the people who'd come. And beautiful people, and people who are very enthusiastic about food and wine and all of that stuff.
So besides the hobnobbing, what else did you do?
I have an association with it's actually been fun to work with them, with a company called Verlasso, Verlasso salmon, this is farm raised salmon, you know, which everybody's will be screaming sounds of horror, that is raised in Patagonia. But the interesting thing is they've worked very hard for a number of years to mitigate against the issues that we all have read about farm-raised salmon. And it's the first salmon to actually get the Seafood Watch, this is the Monterey Bay Aquarium's rating system for finfish and shellfish, the first one to get their approval because of what they do. So they've really worked to be able to do it. And the truth of it is, and Monterey points this out too, is that our seas are tapped out. What is it? We're supposed to have another 2 billion people in 20 years or something, 25 years. Well, we're not going to get it from the sea, at least from wild species in the sea. The future of fish and shellfish really is farming. So we need, like so many things, like land farming, we need to learn how to do it well and to do it sustainably and with an eye toward preserving the environment. And they've kind of figured out that. So it's been fun to kind of take that message out there. So we did. We were there. We had this beautiful display. And we were serving little bites of fresh salmon sashimi, raw salmon, topped with a little lemongrass sorbet, which was absolutely delicious. People told us over and over again, it was the best thing at Food and Wine. I think it was, actually.
Wow, how fantastic. Can we get this little recipe?
The recipe, yes. You can go to the Verlasso, again, Verlasso.com. Website and it's there for the salmon sashimi, and it's a great idea. I mean, even if you eat raw fish of any kind, using the little sorbet, which you could flavor in a number of different ways, on a hot day, a little beginning course of that is really delicious. Here's something I want to remind people of, though. If you're gonna eat raw fish, I don't care what it is, salmon or tuna or any of those things, you need to make sure that the fish has been frozen before it is thawed and then sliced and eaten raw. And the concern there is that the seas are full of all kinds of things, including all kinds of little microorganisms and stuff, which don't necessarily make for a healthy digestion. And so you want to be sure to kill them before
you do. And freezing will do
that. Yeah, yes. You know, and I have friends. I go fishing, as you know, up to Alaska every summer. And the guys all about there, they catch a fish and they fillet it and start, you know, squeezing lemon and soy sauce on it and all that stuff, and I keep saying, no, you really shouldn't. And I've done it too, and I'm still here, but anytime you're doing it, in fact, it is a law in California, when you go to sushi joints, all of that fish that you think you're eating raw and absolutely fresh, by law, has to be frozen before it is served to you.
So go to Verlasso, Verlasso.com, and you can access that recipe.
Yeah, it's really fun.
And we would be remiss, since we're in the Seafood Shack, not to mention that tomorrow, June 25th, by law, is... National Catfish Day.
Catfish Day, yeah.
Right?
And one of the, especially on the West Coast, one of the most underrated, forgotten, delicious fish there are out there.
So. Now, how did it get to be National Catfish Day? I quote, in recognition of the value of farm-raised catfish, the Congress, by House Joint Resolution 178, has designated June 25th, 1987, as National Catfish Day and authorized and requested the President of the United States to issue a proclamation in its observance. Now, therefore, I, Ronald Reagan, President of the U.S. of America, do hereby proclaim June 25th, 1987 as National Catfish Day. I call upon the people of the United States to observe this day with appropriate ceremonies and activities, end quote. Regardless of what you think about the Reagan presidency, he did enact this legislation.
He, and catfish is another one of those fishes. Again, it gets kind of maligned, but it is, most of what we get in the marketplace has been farm-raised.
Yes.
And it is also on the Best Buy list for Seafood Watch because it's grown very sustainably and clean and all of that kind of stuff. And don't you agree that it's one of the most, it's kind of a blank canvas. It's a delicious, very mild white fish that takes to anything.
Oh, you know I love it.
Yeah,
I cook it frequently.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, you were tasked with creating something with catfish while you were a guest chef at the Monterey Aquarium.
Yes.
And some of your fellow chefs kind of said, you got stuck with catfish.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
if, that was the... We got designer halibut,
and
you got, but you rose to the occasion, and you were thrilled to.
Oh, yeah, it was great. We did a pan-seared catfish with a little tomatillo and avocado salsa, and people loved it.
And we have that recipe right now on the KSR website. It's John Ash's pan-fried catfish with tomatillo and avocado salsa. You can access that as soon as we're off the air.
That's right.
Because we got some delicious sipping to do.
Okay.
After this next break, it's the KSRO Good Food Hour.
Pengrove, here's KSRO in Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
Overlooking the water with amazing views of the bay, the Bayview Restaurant at the Inn at the Tides serves fresh local seafood, California and Italian cuisine year-round. All ingredients sourced locally and organic when available. For 30 years, the Inn at the Tides has hosted a monthly winemaker dinner series with the finest local wineries and winemakers.
Friday, July 14th, join Adam Lee, winemaker for Siduri Winery. Savor a four-course meal paired perfectly with four Siduri wines. Start with seared diver scallops and grilled peach salad with a 2015 Pinot Gris. Then braised Liberty Duck Ragu Parmigiano and a 2015 Russian River Pinot. Followed by a Black Angus Tenderloin with Bing Cherry and Balsamic Glaze and the 2014 Gary's Vineyard Pinot. All topped off with a flourless dark chocolate torte topped with cherry Pinot Reduction and almond brittle and a Siduri Oregon Pinot Noir. Book a room at special winemaker dinner rates.
The Inn at the Tides. Less than 30 minutes from Santa Rosa, but seems a world away. Go to innatthetides.com and click on Winemaker Dinner Series.
We are practically magical because we know that you live or work in Sonoma County. How do we know that? Because you're listening to the radio. Hi, I'm Michael O'Shea. I'm president and general manager of this radio station, and I'd like to tell you about a very important new service Sonoma County Public Safety Agencies provide. It's called SoCo Alert. If you sign up for SoCo Alert, emergency responders can call, text, or email you on your mobile devices, work phone, or your home phone should there be an emergency or a disaster near you. Sign up today for SoCo Alert, a free and secure service at SoCoAlert.com. Your loved ones will be glad you did. It's free. SoCoAlert.com.
This message brought to you by the County of Sonoma and Sonoma County Fire and Emergency Services.
Your slice of the pie, milk money, whatever you call it, the benefits are real. American Ag Credit is paying $50 million in cash dividends to our customers for 2016, bringing the total to more than $350 million distributed since 2005. Cash dividends are a result of your success and an investment in the farmers and ranchers we work with every day. Join us now and enjoy the benefits of doing business with American Ag Credit. Just call 1-800-800-4865 or visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
Hi, this is Jeff Davis of On the Wine Road. If you love wine and would like to learn more about the people who craft your favorite brands and contribute to our wine country lifestyle here in Sonoma County, Napa, and beyond, Be sure to tune in On the Wine Road, sponsored by Smothers European Volvo. They've been a family-run business since 1982 at 2881 Corby Avenue and smothers-european-volvo.com. Join me this Saturday afternoon at 1:05 for On the Wine Road here on KSRO.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Well, after talking for 35 minutes, I need something to soothe my parched throat.
Yes.
Can you suggest anything?
Maybe something healthy would be nice.
Made in Sonoma County?
Made in Sonoma County of natural and organic ingredients.
Gosh, it sounded good. Well, look what's here. It's just showing up. The Sisters Switchel, a unique adventure in taste. This is Melanie. Hello, Melanie.
Hello.
Thank you for coming in. Brenda, hello.
Hi there.
Thank you for coming in. And you're wearing your shirts that say Sisters Switchel, and I understand you're not related by the same parents, but in your soul sisters. Mm. In this business, Sister Switchel.
Absolutely.
So when did you start this business?
We started about 2.5 years ago. Uh-huh. We worked on refining the recipe for about a year, and we finally made it into market in terms of getting in compliance with the state of California about 9 months ago.
Is that a char to do for anybody else out there who wants to create a product to take to market? It's a lot of work, isn't it?
It's a lot of work. Yeah. Lots of T crossing and I dotting.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what's a switchel?
Goodness, a switchel is probably the healthiest beverage on the market today. So, but it came to us from the 1800s, actually. It's a heritage beverage that was made with any kind of sweetener that was available to you, always with vinegar, apple cider vinegar, and fresh ginger. So that constitutes a switchel.
So even Thomas Jefferson would be sipping
these? Well, Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote about it. Mm-hmm. There are stories about the gold rush boats that went down through the Cape Horn drinking switchel to keep hydrated from being seasick and also to keep the beverages clean from bacteria.
So these have hygienic and restorative powers, besides being delicious and tasty.
What kind of restorative powers? I want to know.
Well, it really serves as a digestive aid and an anti-inflammatory.
Oh, nice.
The honey actually serves as a delivery mechanism to get the ginger and the apple cider vinegar into your cells. So that's where the anti-inflammatory properties come in.
So this whole idea of using apple cider vinegar, it seems like it's showing up everywhere. I will tell you that growing up as a little kid, I lived with my grandparents. My grandmother insisted every morning that I have a big tablespoon or two of apple cider vinegar, and it needed always to be raw, unpasteurized, unfiltered, because it supposedly did everything for you.
Yeah, and actually we don't pasteurize our drink. Oh. So that we can preserve the natural nutritional qualities.
So does it have to be refrigerated if it's not pasteurized, or is it shelf stable?
Yeah, we're a perishable beverage. It takes, we have about a 2-month shelf life.
Okay, so you produce it in Santa Rosa?
We have a commercial kitchen that we rent space in Petaluma.
So it's produced in Petaluma, and how's it sold, in 4-packs or single individual bottles?
At the markets, it's sold in single.
In singles. And where are you available?
We're in Santa Rosa. We're in Pacific Market and Willoughby's Market and Brew Cafe and Trail House, which is a new fun place that a lot of athletes show up.
Oh, is that on Montgomery Drive?
It is.
Where a lot of bicyclists?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's how we met. We met mountain bike racing over 17 years ago at Lake Sonoma. And we've both been athletes, competitive athletes, and health and wellness professionals.
Well, you're both fit, and you owe it all to the switchels.
That's right.
What does switchel mean? Is it an old English term?
We haven't ever found the actual reason why the word switchel exists. So the real history is that the boats from the Caribbean, Asia, and Europe had to keep water potable. So they added vinegar to keep it potable, and then in order to keep it palatable, whatever they were trading, they were throwing in there, which oftentimes would be ginger and sweeteners.
And a sugar of some type.
And, yep.
So how does this differ from a shrub, you know, which we hear a lot about today, too? It's the same idea, isn't it?
The same concept and the same era, mm-hmm. as far as when they were developed. Shrubs are typically with fruit added, so there's some type of fruit, and oftentimes it's sugar and not honey or sorghum or molasses or maple syrup, which all fall in the switchel category.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm quoting from a book we just got, John. Mm-hmm. It's called Summer Cocktails. It arrived on our desk this week, and I thought, I wonder if they have anything about shrubs. On one page 129, she writes, originally shrubs were acidulated fruit liqueurs once popular in England, but the term also refers to fruit-flavored sweetened vinegars that were popularized as drinks in colonial times in the U.S. The following recipe is what I found to be the most straightforward and effective in releasing flavor. Experiment with your own combination. And what she has is 1 cup fruit, 1 cup granulated sugar, and 1 cup vinegar. Very simple.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And your recipe has what in it?
So our switchel has ginger. We press ginger, organic Peruvian ginger, and apple cider vinegar that we are partnered with Manzana, so we drive out to Grayton and pick it up.
Oh, you do.
And Gibson's Honey, so another local
company. That's a local Santa Rosa, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. We're very local, actually, and we're Go Local members, and we take pride in all of that.
So what's been the response with people? Because it's such a weird combination of flavors for people who've never experienced these.
It's actually been very positive. I've had very few people that have had any kind of adverse reaction to it. It's interesting that we were very careful to formulate the recipe so that no one ingredient was overpowering. Mm. We wanted to have a really good fusion. And when we tell people what the ingredients are, it's sort of funny. We get some interesting reactions, but then when they taste it, they're like, wow, this is smooth, not too sweet. And they're really enthusiastic about the health properties.
Yeah, because we don't have a history. Well, we have a colonial history of drinking apple vinegar products, but not recently. It's something that
it's kind of come back around. But I think I think part of what you mentioned, it was because the water was so bad that
there's one more piece to this that I thought was rather interesting. We had this beverage was called Haymaker's Punch. The farmers, as soon as it hit the shorelines, our farmers adopted it for hay harvest. So it was served all the time, and there were various reasons. Hydration, bloating, long hot days in the summer sun, quite frankly, to keep some of the workers off of moonshine. You know, it was it had a bite enough in it that they were satiated, I should say. But the day that Coca-Cola came on the market, switchel just essentially went into the history books almost within a year of Coca-Cola coming onto the market.
So the beginning of the 20th century, basically, the 1890s or so, by that time, Coke just wiped
everybody else. Yep.
So you gave us a little card, however, that has some really delicious sounding mixed drinks, I guess is what you would call them, that have a bit of alcohol in them.
There is a thing called a healthy cocktail.
Yes, that's right. So tell us about these. How did you develop these?
Lots
of long, hard work at night.
We had to go to Willoughby's and buy some bottles of booze, actually, and figure a few things out and have some parties and put a few cocktails in front of our friends, and we started getting creative.
Are these drinks on your website?
Yeah, they are.
So there's the Freestone, which has a bourbon-based and cardamom bitters.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. You include these little producers, I mean small producers of kind of artisan alcohol in there. So for this one, the Freestone, you have the Lost Republic bourbon that you're recommending for that? So
it's delicious with cardamom bitters, and Lost Republic, their bourbon is great. Mm-hmm. We certainly look for the artisan and somewhat local. If we can work with them, we've done tastings with Sonoma County Distilling down in Roanert Park.
And Sonoma Brothers Vodka?
Yeah. We met them at Willoughby's at a tasting, and they have a vodka that almost has a vanilla flavor in it, so comes across really smooth in our vodkarita.
We had the pleasure of doing a tasting with the La Rosa Amaro Bellaro owners, and they were so impressed with our beverage that they went the next day and created this recipe. And so it's really neat that we have that relationship.
What
with
is
them.
Amaro Bellaro?
Well, we had to learn about Amaros after we had these drinks, and it's an Italian aperitif.
Oh, and you serve that with the Spirit Works gin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a local company too, Spirit Works gin.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got these recipes online so people can use your beverages to create their own custom cocktails.
Yes, and we bring the cards to our tastings. We do a lot of tastings at the markets and at Trail House, and we bring the cards so people can take a bottle and go.
So what's your schedule for tastings, just so people will line up so they can get in and taste this stuff? Do you have a schedule?
Actually, I'm going to be at Pacific Market today in Sebastopol.
Oh, fantastic.
We take, we look at who we have in our retailers, and we try to really support them by showing up at least once a month. We just are on sort of a rotation, and Brenda and I both work full time, so we sort of divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. And whenever we have the time, we're just, Brenda's in Santa Rosa, I'm in Petaluma, and we just make it happen.
So is that schedule ever published, or do you?
It will be.
Yeah.
We're still building, because honestly, this is our first true spring. When Melanie said nine months ago, we got into market last August with Willoughby's.
Oh, this is very new.
And then, we hit the fall, and we knew we were getting into Trail House because they're great buddies of ours. So we had sort of a plan, and then Petaluma Market, but then the weather hit, and we had an insane winter, as we all know. So we just backed off, and we did tastings and parties and started to just wait. And so really, it's only been since March. So this tasting schedule will sort of take hold.
So it'll be on your website, though.
Yeah.
And what is your
social
website?
Social media.
Yeah, and what is your website?
Sisterswitchell.com.
Okay.
All one word.
Yeah, all one word.
And the other two drinks are the Sassy Switchell Cooler, which features any of your sparkling wine, like Gloria Ferrar or Prosecco. And then the Hen House Shandy. Now, there's a couple of words. What's a shandy?
Shandy is a combination of beer and then some type of non-alcoholic beverage, usually a lemonade in traditional terms. But we've sort of accidentally happened upon the combination of beer and Switchell and the champagne, and we were it was really fun last year. We served at the Wine Country Weekend, and we were right next to the Corbel area, the bubble room, and it was great because people would walk through with their champagne glass and take a shot of Switchell in
there
it, and it's really delicious.
Beautiful. Kismet, it was meant to be.
Yes.
And you use the Hen House Saison.
Yeah, it's delicious together.
What's a Saison style of beer like?
I think it's considered more of like a farmhouse ale. Huh? It's a little bit on the tart side, not a sour
We should toast to your success.
Yeah, let's
You've
do that.
You've poured a glass
let's do
for
that.
Us.
Here you go.
If you'll pass me one over. Thank you.
Cheers.
Can I see the bottle? I haven't seen this yet. Oh, beautiful artwork. West Coast original, a naturally energizing gingery refreshment.
Cheers. So you're right. It's wonderfully balanced. It's not too much vinegar, not too much sweet. It's really good.
Thank you.
I feel energized. I feel like
one sip will do you.
Well, this is almost too good to pollute with alcohol.
Almost.
It's really good.
So what would you put in here? If you put on the spot,
I think vodka is kind of a natural. I like brown spirits, but I would probably keep my bourbon separate, just on the rocks. But I think a shot of vodka. Have you experimented with tequila in here?
That's in the works right now, actually.
Oh, you should have seen their faces. Change. So
we had an evening one night in Willoughby's back in October where our friend Sonny, the owner, brought tequila out, and we had finished up a tasting, and we had some switchel left over, and we put it together, and it was super tasty. So we're going to play with that one.
But there's no Sonoma County tequila, as far as I know.
Yeah, that's part of the reason. We've stayed sort of in that wheelhouse.
And nobody's making rum, as far as I know, in Sonoma County, are they?
No. I can't.
Maybe. So that's why you're trying to keep it locally produced spirits at this point.
Do you know what this would also be delicious as? Because there isn't any alcohol in it, this would make we were talking earlier about a salmon dish, huh? Salmon sashimi with a little sorbet. This would make the most delicious sorbet to scoop and put on raw salmon or raw tuna or something like that. It'd be fantastic.
That's
so easy
idea
to do. Just dump it in your ice cream maker, and it'd be fantastic.
And we have marinated with it before.
Yeah, I'll bet. That would be delicious, too. Yeah.
So lots to do with the Sisters Switchel. Here it is. Buy it by name.
Yeah.
And look for it in a number of wonderful markets around Sonoma County. And at farm markets, too. And you're doing a tasting this afternoon at Pacific Market in Sebastopol. Mm-hmm. What time is that?
As soon as I finish here, I'm going to head right over there. So they're going to be expecting me around 12:30.
Okay. Well, Melanie, Brenda, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
I feel refreshed and energized.
I do, too. It's really delicious. I mean, it really is. Congratulations.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Best
thank
of success
you
in your
thanks,
adventure.
Gentlemen.
We'll see you next week, and we're going to taste a little barbecue next Saturday. Okay with you?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Stick around. Clark Wolf at the table at noon following the news. This is Steve Garner for Chef John Ash. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.
Traffic on the